This is a HeadGum Podcast.
So here I am, sitting on my couch, playing Arkham Knight, and all of a sudden, my doorbell rings. Who's there? The mailman. I'm terrified. What the hell does this guy want from me? Oh, I have a package. Oh, that package is from NatureBox. So you know what that means. I got 5 or 6 new snacks delivered directly to my door. Mailman says, I say thank you to the mailman. Mailman says, hey, you're not wearing any pants. And I say, I know. And I'm going to jam these snacks down my gullet. Thank you, Mr. Mailman. Nature Box is a monthly, healthy snack delivery company. They deliver snacks to your door. You get to choose from hundreds of different types. My two personal, you know, I'm a big nut guy. So my two favorite are the Sriracha Roasted Cashews and the Blueberry Almonds. I've been saying Sriracha Cashews for a while, but apparently they're also roasted, which is important. Everybody loves roasted stuff. They like Jeff Ross. They like marshmallows, pigs. Everything tastes better roasted. And there's no chance of you getting bored because they release a new snack every month, several new snacks, and they just throw it in there. It's full of flavor, no junk. Not flavorful, it's full of flavor. Get it right, people. They're just fun, flavorful snacks made with ingredients that you can trust. Taken from me, Senator John Gabris. Plus, they have this guarantee. If you ever don't like one of the snacks, just let them know and they won't put it in the next one. Unlike your mother, who packed that goddamn tapioca pudding for 5 years, despite what you told her. So do me a favor and head over to naturebox.com/Gabris and order yourself a NatureBox snack pack. And guess what? You get the first one for free on NatureBox. Though, if they're not listening to this ad, I'm going to say it's on me. You go to naturebox.com/Gabris. I'll treat you to your first month of NatureBox snacks. Get the sweet nuts, try the salty nuts, and don't forget the spicy nuts. One last time, that's naturebox.com/Gabris for your first box of NatureBox box snack box. That's Gabris saying box. Enjoy the podcast. It's about to start after 4 more commercials. What's up, shitheads? Welcome to another episode of the High and Mighty podcast. I am your host, John Gabris. Today, we're going to be talking about one of my favorite films of all time. That's right. Dare I say film? Predator. We're going to be talking about Arnold, Carl Weathers, vests, baby oil, machine guns, biceps, random South American terrorist groups. We're going to be talking about it all. Before we get right into it, I just have to make one correction here. We feel like such idiots, but we refer to a character as Duke throughout the entire podcast. And the character we're actually referring to is Mac, played by the wonderful actor Bill Duke. So, again, for most of you who don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about in the podcast or now, I just got to know for the 3 of you out there who are diehard Bill Duke fans that we mean Mac whenever we say Duke. All right, guys, here you go. I've got Ben Rogers and Ryan Stanger in the quote-unquote studio, aka the sweaty office in my apartment. One night at Bird's, Ben and I had a show. We were drinking and started talking about Predator. Ryan overheard us, wandered up to us and said, are you guys talking about Predator? And then for the next 90 minutes, we isolated ourselves and only talked about Predator. And I feel bad that America missed out on that conversation. So that's what we're doing here today. We're going to be talking about a movie that has one bad guy, 2 governors, and more vests than a valet's closet. All right, Ben and Ryan, let's talk Predator.
Okay, I mean, I disagree with you that there's one bad guy.
Ooh, yeah, it's true. There is the...
You could say all the Valverde, like, fucking...
The Latino like, ethnic yeah. cleansing yeah. that the Commandos yeah. do.
I mean, yeah. those guys are maybe the bad guys. Then you could say Carl Weathers is the bad guy. He tricked all these Commandos to go there for some CIA bullshit.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. There are a lot of bad guys. do we understand the politics of the movie? Well, there's so many different directions that we can go, mm-hmm. because for people listening, our reach extends far beyond the actual plot of the movie. It goes into the behind the scenes.
We've all three of us have watched the hour and 30 minute featurette that's on the DVD.
Yeah.
Have read every blog post about the movie and have worshipped one or two or more of these cast members since we were children.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, and there's tons of like conjecture and trivia about the movie and like multiple facts that are, I mean, there's some stuff that we know for sure, but there's other stuff that like has changed in different facts that I've read of it.
Like legends and lore.
Behind the scenes. Do we talk about like, should we let bring up everybody up to speed on like the plot of the movie, or do we get into the behind the scenes stuff?
I say let's go quick little plot.
Okay.
Plot rundown. Carl Weathers, a CIA operative, hires Arnold Schwarzenegger's group of commandos to do a rescue mission on some kidnapped...
Do we have to go through the plot point? I mean, if somebody is listening to this, I assume they watched the fucking movie. You know what? I don't want to talk the plot point. If you haven't watched the movie, why the fuck are you listening to this?
Well, to be fair...
I don't want to. I don't want to be inclusive whatsoever.
Well, yeah. John Gabriel has a lot of
fans. The real question is, why the fuck are you listening to this at all?
Yeah. Well, I'm assuming
whether or not it's about Predator or not, why are you listening to this podcast? Let's not open up that can of worms.
There's a lot of women probably listening to this, I'm sure. So they're getting
all
what they know. Yeah.
All
your
and
female
all the
fans.
Strong female characters in Predator.
Right.
The one Latina, the one South American girl that they keep handcuffed for the whole movie.
Oh,
Doesn't talk. Is that the only female character in the whole movie.
But has like a maternal presence, you know? So we have these commandos. They're in the jungle. They think they're there for one reason. So there's a couple things. They're getting double crossed.
They're getting double crossed by Carl Weathers. Mm-hmm. This is where it gets complicated. They think they're there for one reason. They're actually there for another reason. But the plot of the movie is a third reason.
Right. Third reason.
Yeah. They needed a fourth reason.
Yeah.
That's what was missing. They also need to be like, there's a tsunami coming.
Yeah. Somebody needed to fall in love.
It would have been
Predator
nice.
Predator needed to fall in love with somebody.
The double cross B story, though, does give us the best Schwarzenegger line ever that they refuse to rewrite, which is so you cooked up a story and dropped the six of us into a meat grinder. You know, you'd think that like after they tried 57 takes, they'd be like, hey, listen, you know, it doesn't sound good coming out of Arnie. Let's lose the meat grinder.
Yeah,
part
let's tell
of it,
him you double crossed us.
Yeah, you double crossed. Cooked up a story. Yeah, it's tough. You know,
he never speaks in more than 4-word sentences for the whole movie, except for that one interaction.
Yeah.
He's like eloquent.
Yeah,
that's when they decided to bring the writer in and make sure he was on set.
Okay, that's another piece of trivia. Let's explain that to people. Because we're assuming they've seen the movie or they caught up based on our amazing plot points.
Pause. Go watch the movie. Okay. That's always a funny thing when people do that in podcasts. They say, pause, go do what we're talking about. And then we're pretending like you're all coming back for the first time. Now,
I point out I've done zero research or watched Predator in preparation for this podcast?
Yeah, you can point that out.
I probably haven't watched it in, I would say, 5 years, maybe longer.
That's possible.
I feel like you and I got fucked up and watched it a few years
back. We got fucked
up
and watched the behind the scenes together.
Okay.
On YouTube.
I'm similar. I've watched it more recently, but I'm similar. Like, but it weighs heavy on my mind. Like, I can recall all of it pretty well.
I was surprised. I rewatched it last night just to try to be at least, as the host of this, whatever the fuck this is. I watched it last night and I had seen it maybe 2 years ago and then like 2 years. Did you guys watch it? Here's a question. I have a couple of questions I want to ask of you guys specifically. Did you guys watch this movie with your dad when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
I feel like people our age, like I have such a strong connection to Arnold and Seagal and Van Damme through watching those movies with my dad.
Me too.
Like I just was one of the only things my dad and I ever did together was like watch action movies. And then he would make some sort of comment whenever the titties would come out. And then that's why I like Predator is that there's no sex in Predator. So I never had to like hear my dad go like, she's a snapper, eh, John?
Oh, geez. That's why he liked it.
It spared you from like the abuse.
Watching it again is one of the things I liked about it. I felt like everyone in our generation, I'm like, oh, the reason this means so much to us is because we watched it when it came out. What was that? Like 80s? Maybe I didn't watch
87.
Maybe I wasn't 5 when I first saw it, but
you didn't have some like confusing hard on with your dad when you were watching. Or
not this time. Yeah. Not until the scene when all of them are stripped down, bare chested, pulling the rope trap down.
Oh yeah, I get when the predator opens up its face, I get hard as a rock.
Because that's what the first vagina you saw looked like. It had four teeth on the outside.
It had four teeth. She had, what do you call that?
Vagina dentata.
Uh-huh.
Stay tuned for the next episode.
A band called that.
There's definitely an Icelandic death metal band named Vagina Dentata.
We have Vagina Dentata. Hello, awesome, USA.
Awesome t-shirts.
Yeah. They're just like, they have like a real impressive stage show, you know, a lot of energy, but their music sucks,
their music sucks, but they got good costumes.
I'm a way bigger fan of Toothy Pussy.
Everybody loves smooth pussy, but I like it real toothy. And again, all inclusive podcast.
A lot of women listening.
Yeah.
So the other thing about this movie I wanted to bring up is that I love gratuitous. I had a poster of Arnold from this movie. You know, the classic holding the M16 with the grenade launcher in one arm, kind of dirty vest, bare-chested, but so much gratuitous bicep and chest and ab flexing in this movie that I forgot how much, like, that happened in movies, period. Rewatching it last night, I'm like, they're just justifying all these things. Like, Arnold at one point says, like stop, and like to hold his crew. He's like clenched his fist so hard. I'm like,
he's they got you into bodybuilding.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Yeah, that got, and that's why I'm the
that's
fucking
why you're
ripped
the Adonis you are now.
Yeah, I will say that this one is effective in its use because it's like there's something in the way that it's shot that it feels like they're in the jungle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're sweaty.
Yeah, so
they're so oiled up. Yeah. Dude. The scene, I gave these guys some patches that say "you son of a bitch" with a black arm and a orange arm, clenched in the Predator man shake that Dylan and Schwarzenegger share early in the movie.
Dutch.
Yeah.
The close up in that scene is it's my desktop wallpaper.
and they got the color right. That is an orange arm.
It's truly an orange arm. That scene, that close-up is so... The arms are so greasy. And also, it's an air arm wrestling match, which really is not a strength thing.
No.
If you're like, that's just leverage or whatever. But that scene was used in a documentary I saw called Bigger, Faster, Stronger about steroid use.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
great,
like,
movie.
Yeah, great movie. That is so iconic.
Right.
Just fucking muscles.
Yeah. And Dylan, you son of a bitch. And then like Carl Weathers is like, okay, Dutch, okay.
And he's like, they got you pushing pencils now?
You're pushing too many pencils.
You're so weak.
Yeah. No, he says, what's this fucking Thai bullshit? They got you pushing too many pencils.
Yeah. And Dylan's response is, hey, enough about the Thai.
Yeah. And the tie is like
what a burn.
It looks like something from a Tennessee Williams play. It's like in like pastels and shit.
Yeah, it's like Office Space.
Yeah. It's like, does anybody give a fuck if you wear a tie out in Valverde? Like they're in the jungle in a military base.
Why is he in a tie? He is a CIA agent, but he's in a hut now.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Valverde for a minute.
Okay.
Valverde is a made up South American country, right?
Yes.
That like four movies. Reference, right?
Yeah, it's sort
it's,
of
it's
like
Commando. It's where he goes in Commando.
Yeah, it's post Contra scandal. like, where can we say that just bad shit is going down that America's involved in South America?
Right. Like, we can't Central keep killing
America.
Russians.
Yeah. Although, in this one, the Russian component is.
Of course it's there.
It's the Cold War, yeah. So there's like Russians, I guess, that have some CIA document.
Yeah.
It's so weird because I same thing. Like, I watched this with my dad as a kid, and like, I completely missed all that shit. Like, I didn't know what was going on until...
Oh, we didn't care.
Didn't care. Yeah. So, like, let's just get to the Predator part. But
it's funny, thinking back about the movie, I forget about that whole scene, which is like a 15-minute amazing,
awesome,
brutal action sequence. So awesome. And you forget about that because you only think about the Predator. But there is that, like, first act fight scene that's, like, 15 minutes long. Who's the dude? Chavez has, like, that grenade launcher gun.
Yeah.
He fires over 50 grenades. At one point, what does he say? What does Ventura say? Dug in like an Alabama tick.
Yeah.
And then Chavez takes his grenade launcher and just fires five grenades in the direction that the guy was referencing. And when the fifth one lands, two dudes just leap off the cliff. That was another thing. That happens 10 times in that fight. And that's one of my favorite things from these movies is a grenade goes off and then two guys just do flips into the
that
ground.
Air ram thing going. They like perfected that in Commando and then it comes back in a major way in Predator. There's also like the amount of ammunition they use is like, They just choppered in there and like blade down on these choppers, like on zip lines. The fucking they would have to have trucks and trucks and trucks of ammunition.
So
like
much.
How much they fucking shoot.
Fucking Dutch uses 40 bullets anytime he encounters one guy. And they all, Carl Weathers especially, because he has like the little like MP5 submachine gun. He goes back and forth with it anytime he shoots it. He's like, it's like you're just spraying bullets.
They're just jerking their wrists around like they're doing like a sideways hand job or something.
You gotta
every
set
time
up how badass these guys are, so you know, like, this is how good the Predator is. I mean, these guys are the best.
They're the best, and then, so
and they don't, and they don't, and it's also winked to how like how much ingenuity Schwarzenegger has is that he picks up that truck. And they're like, what the hell are you doing? Because, like, everybody's so into weapons. It's like, oh, this guy doesn't even need... He can improvise with the things around him.
Yeah.
And that'll come in handy later.
You got to set that up,
You know the first draft of that script, that when they got Arnold, they were like, well, we got to have him lift something. Because, like, we have to justify why this man-giant is running around.
So, famously, in drafts of the script, we have a brother team that writes this script, right? And this, so, like, the lore is that... It came about because people were making the joke that, like, Sylvester Stallone as Rocky has fought everybody, and the only thing left for him to fight next is an extraterrestrial. And that inspired this brother team, like Jim and John Thomas or something like that. Save the tweets if I'm not right on that, motherfuckers.
Yeah, save the tweets.
Yeah,
everybody.
Save the tweets, ladies.
You're going to get a lot of stuff
at
wrong.
At R. Stone Stanger. Yeah. Light them up, bitches.
So,
for the 12-year-old girls listening to this.
Yeah, so I guess it was just... It was just the one guy fighting this predator out in the woods, all right, or out in the jungle somewhere. And then when Arnold got it, he liked it, but he wanted it to be a team of commandos. And then I'm guessing that it's Joel Silver that stepped in there, too, that wanted it to be, like, action whore.
Yeah, it makes sense. And I feel like I read somewhere, too, that Arnold attributes the success of this film to how big and muscular all the commandos are. That is, like, the most Arnold thing. Yeah, it's like, I think the reason is a combined bench press.
Seeing everybody's loving the way that they're looking so big and strong, you know, and they're just trying to watch it for these reasons, and you know, it's fantastic.
Let's run through the commandos while we're on the topic of commandos. Let's talk them out.
So all insane. All except Shane Black.
All insane. And
I mean, he's even pretty crazy, right?
He's doing the horrible jokes. Yeah. Jeez, he got a big pussy, like all those jokes. Like, I think it's supposed, or Shane Black as a person, or all the actors that
all
play
the actors.
He's, I heard, nuts too.
Okay.
I can only imagine. All these human beings, they're all legitimately, the characters they're playing are insane characters, but apparently it's just a shade off from what all these people are like in real life. So to start, we've got Dutch, played by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. We don't have to get into him too much, but he seems to be a cigar smoking, he just seems to be Arnold.
Should we call out your dog real quick in case people hear like licking and sniffing in the background?
Amir, the podcast producer, is licking and sniffing the dog in case you hear anything. Arthur Gabris is present in the room, and he is very needy, and he loves Ben, so he's sitting on Ben's lap and licking and sniffing all over the place. Mm. And then if you hear any other licking and sniffing, that's me on Stanger's calves.
Yeah.
Super developed.
Yeah. And salty. They're a little salty. Yeah. That's why dogs like them
this time of year.
Yeah.
They need salt.
All right, so then after Dutch, we have Dylan, played by Carl Weathers. Also, Carl Weathers in any other movie would be the most cock diesel motherfucker you've ever seen, but not next to fucking Arnold. He doesn't hang next to Arnold. And he's the CIA. He's like the brains or the sketchbook.
Former partner,
right. And
I also heard brought in behind the scenes as an acting heavyweight to add some credibility to the...
Action Jackson's the only one with any fucking the chops out there. All right, so then after him, we've got Chavez, who is the resident Latino. I guess he's the translator. He has the grenade launcher gun, too.
Right.
And he seems to be like a, not a communications, but he's like a possible medic or something like that.
Something. I mean,
he's definitely the weakest character.
He's the weakest. Yeah. That's what I was saying. What this movie doesn't have that action movies have after this is that opening setup where it's like you see them on one previous mission. Like where you like the cold open is them doing something and you see whoever doing explosives, someone else doing the sniper, someone else doing the sneaky shit, and then you're like, now you know
what this is supposed to be. The opening scene's supposed to be.
Yeah,
yeah. Do you mean them in the village destroying it? Yeah, yeah.
Except everybody just does the same shit.
Yeah, it's really funny, but that
he does. He's the translator.
Yeah, he's like the translator. Yeah. And then, so then that goes, that brings us to...
She's talking crazy.
Does he, like, say something like that?
Yeah, when, he translates
her
wrong.
The female character says one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, just say what the fuck she's saying, too, Shab. We don't need your fucking editorial comments on it.
Dylan's like, opinion
of Dylan's like, that's not what she said. Yeah. It's like, all right, now we're arguing about the translation. Yeah. Just put subtitles on, we can just enjoy
it. What she
it.
Said doesn't make sense. Yeah.
All right, so then after that, we got Hawkins, played by Shane Black.
Right.
And the behind-the-scenes story on that is that he was brought in by Joel Silver to help work on the script because Shane Black wrote Lethal Weapon, right. Monster Squad, and
great
a bunch of, yeah, great yeah. writer, a bunch of awesome movies. And he plays Hawkins, who is the nerd. Like, you need one nerdy, like, wimpy guy in every
reading
group.
Reading comic books.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which apparently Schwarzenegger had because they wanted him to do, like, what was that, Sergeant Rock?
Sergeant Rock, Sergeant is that the name Rock. Of it? Or,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So they sent him a crate of those comic books, and that's why he's reading them.
Yeah, they're all reading them because they were like, Arnold was maybe going to make that movie next.
Yeah, and this is before iPads and stuff, people. So, you know, back right, when people had to read, all right?
Yeah, you we had to buy our comics at the store, and they cost 25 cents. Yeah. So that's Hawkins, and he has that recurring pussy joke that he keeps trying to get going.
He keeps
going.
Trying to get in there.
He goes, what does he
There's
say?
There's two. Oh, they're all about just about chicks having a big pussy, but the joke specifically
The
are,
second one is...
The second one lands.
I love eating your pussy. I love eating your pussy.
Jeez, you got a big pussy.
Oh,
and he
yeah.
does the echo. Jeez, you got a big pussy.
And she goes, why'd you say that twice? He's like, I didn't. Yeah. And that finally gets
that
a laugh.
Kills. That kills.
That murders. I, my guess on that, too, is like it actually, the character works now because they're like.
Stand by, Arthur is tangled in the wires.
Okay, buddy.
The character just seems like some, you know, misogynistic scumbag trying to, you know, appeal to the most alpha dude there. Yeah. But my guess is that Joel Silver really thought those jokes were funny. He's like, we got to get those jokes in or I'm fucking
guess,
pulling funding.
Yeah, I guess they like someone said that at a table read and Ventura laughed his ass off. And they were like, assuming there was a table read for this fucking movie.
There's no way there was.
There's nothing to read.
Yeah.
All right, so that's Hawkins. That brings us to, what's the Sonny Landham's character's name?
Billy.
Billy.
Yeah. He's built often named Billy in movies.
Right, yeah, he's Billy in
He's Billy Bear in 48 Hours, yeah.
Billy, you know something.
So he's the tracker, and this is another cliche of 80s and 90s movies. Ben and I talked about this a little bit, is Native Americans and like people from New Orleans became mystics out of nowhere. You know, like there was like a period of time in these movies where it was like, well, he I don't know if Billy's Native American in this movie, but he has a pouch around his neck and
totally
a big fucking knife. Yes.
Oh, he absolutely
Christ
is.
Sake. For Christ's sake, John.
Come on.
But it's never
I'll
said.
Walk out of this podcast right now if you won't concede that he's Native American in this
And
movie.
He's bigger than...
He's the biggest dude.
He's the biggest
it,
dude. With the exception of the guy who plays Predator.
Right.
Yeah. But this... Billy is tremendous. This is the death I remember most from my childhood, is Billy's death. Because I remember thinking it was like the funniest thing ever. He like makes that big stand on the log where he pulls out the knife, cuts it across his chest, and then they walk away, and then you hear him die off camera. You don't even get to
see him. You don't even get to see them fight. They set it up to be this huge battle, and he just screams. Like, you lost immediately.
Yeah. And they're literally 10 feet further away. He just immediately gets killed. What's the back? He's got a great behind the scenes story about him, right? Allegedly,
well, they had to hire bodyguards to protect everybody else from him.
Yeah. This is one of those things, though, like before you could really check on that shit.
Right.
Yeah. It's like you hear all the time, like, hey, so and so was a fucking, you know, Golden Glove boxer, like Ryan O'Neal or some shit. Like, no fucking way. And then you watch
Marlon
like,
Brando was a starting fullback for the Detroit Lions.
I was listening to something when Richard Grieco was promoting like some gigolo show he was on, and he was talking about how he got a football scholarship and then got cut, and they're like, why'd you get cut, like what happened? He's like, you know, the coach, I was too much of a wild. There was like no specifics. He didn't know what his coach's name was. It's just like,
coach the footballs,
if you fucking play, you're spending 15 hours a day there, you know who the fuck your coach is,
especially if he cuts you
because
you go head to head. You're gonna be fucking hate that guy for the rest of your life.
Yeah, so this was they would always do, they just invent this shit where it's just like, this guy is, you know, drank a barrel of beer every day.
Yeah, like the Andre the Giant story.
So who knows, could be, I mean, he's a nutcase that's running for mayor in Kentucky back in 2002.
He was pursuing to be the maybe the third governor in Predator. then that gives us to what's his name? It's not Dutch. It's a what's the black dude's name?
Duke. Yeah.
Dutch and Duke.
Why?
They're both D names that are also like British titles. Duke, great character.
Great actor. He got the part because of how good he was in Commando.
Yeah. I eat green berets for breakfast. Yeah. Right. Let's have that aside. We all love Commando here as well. That scene in Commando when he throws Duke.
Okay, yeah, we got to talk about this.
This is very important.
So
he's fighting. What's Duke's? What's that actor's name? I feel bad not being able to know it.
I don't know. We should probably have like an IMDb.
He's for sure Duke,
but
Commando,
like not.
Right?
You know, we shouldn't look anything up.
No,
Duke and Predator, right?
Yeah, he's for sure Duke and Predator. Yeah.
So in Commando, he plays the bad guy.
Yeah,
and.
He's
somebody,
a green beret.
I think, like Arnold throws him through a motel wall.
Right, he shows up at their motel room to assault him.
And so Arnold throws him through a wall into the room next door, and there is a couple fucking in the bed, but it is a girl fucking a guy in the ass.
Yeah, the dude is on all fours, and the girl's behind him. That's a classic action movie thing too: is break down a wall, and there's a woman changing or something.
Yeah,
but this is a great spin.
Yeah, this is a great twist on it.
Another thing I have to attribute to fucking Joel Silver. It's got to be. Like, no, I fucking pull funding unless we got her fucking him in the ass. And they're like, all right, Joel, if that's, you know, if you want to die in a hill for that, then fucking, all right.
Joel Silver, a.k.a. Cocaine, made this decision. And does that take us? Oh, and so Duke, the great actor, the weirdest character in that.
Yeah, like, yeah, definitely. Like, the shaving your face thing.
He's dry shaving with a plastic razor in like three different scenes.
Yeah.
He doesn't talk to anyone the whole time.
Got the worst attitude.
And then when Jesse the Body dies, he's like, he was my friend. It's like, what? You haven't spoken to anyone yet.
That's the character they decided to make him friends with?
Yeah.
Like, God, this guy seems the worst dude.
Yeah. Oh, so that brings us to the next character, Jesse the Body, and who's playing
Blaine.
Yes, yeah. Blaine.
So he famously has the minigun mounted to his side.
Yeah, great. First appearance of a minigun manhandled.
Because they made the gun up, right?
Yeah, it's like a helicopter gun mounted on a helicopter.
Yeah, no one has carried it around. He's got a backpack. He's rappelling. When you think about it, he's like rappelling out of a helicopter with a backpack full of ammunition on it, like a metal backpack filled with machine gun.
Which probably has the best lines in the movie.
He's got all the best lines.
Got all the classic lines.
Yeah.
So let's run through a few of them.
Dug in like an Alabama tick. Yeah. Some
bitch dug up in there like an Alabama tick, right?
I ain't got time to bleed.
That's like a title of his book, too. He wrote a
memoir.
He's got a lot of fucking entree out of that fucking quote.
He also says, any of you slack-jawed faggots want any of this? In reference to chewing tobacco.
Yeah.
This was also the late 80s where being gay was like the worst thing that you could do.
The ultimate
insult.
Homophobia.
Yeah, it sucked. You know, rampant homophobia amongst these all oiled up
shirtless dudes. First of all, by the end of the movie, everyone's got different gear on, but by the end of the movie, everyone's in a vest with no shirt.
Yeah.
Like, that's clearly the fashion choice in that movie. Everyone has no shirt underneath with a vest.
Yeah, and they would have to make that choice, too. Like, I'm going to remove some layers here. I'm going to take the vest off, lose the shirt, vest back on, you know?
Because that's where I hold my grenades that I never get to do.
Yeah, I got some fishing lures and shit on there, matches and stuff. You know, we're in the fucking Amazon, for Christ's sake. Yeah.
I can't believe we keep calling Mac Duke because the actor's name is Bill Duke. The only thing that could have saved us is if there was an informative website about Bill Duke's roles on the internet. Say, for example, www.BillDukesCharactersNameIsMac.com. Huh. If I wanted to make that site, how would I make it? I don't know. Maybe I'd use Squarespace to make professionally designed. Regardless of my skill level, you don't even need to know coding. It's easy to use. It powers your site. They have 24/7 help for you to make this website. Be like, hey, I don't know. I need a bigger picture of Bill Duke on my front page.
can I ask you for help? And they will. It's only $8 a month, and you can get your free domain name if you sign up for a year. So, and just in case Bill Duke plays the character Mac in Predator.com is not taken, you could launch that website. You can start a free trial today. No credit card required or credit quads. At squarespace.com. You decide to sign up for Squarespace, do me a favor, use the promo code Gabrus to get 10% off your first purchase, and also to let Squarespace know that people who listen to my podcast make websites. Don't let them know what kind of website you're making, because I don't want to know what kind of creepy fans I have. They don't want to know. But let them know so that they send me more money and I could keep making more BS websites. Squarespace, build it beautiful. All right. Back to three dudes oozing machismo and talking about guns.
Sexual tyrannosaurs.
That's the second part of the tobacco conversation.
When we eventually do a spin-off podcast where it's just the three of us talking about Predator for hours on end, we'll call it Sexual Tyrannosaurus. Okay.
Wait, what is this one?
Yeah.
This one's currently called High and Mighty, since it's my podcast. But I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing overall, so it doesn't matter.
So that Tyrannosaurus scene is when they're on the helicopter flying out, which is kind of an homage to Vietnam movies, because they got Long Tall Sally by Little Richard, right?
Yeah, and it's playing, and you think it's non-diegetic, and then they shut off a giant boombox that's in the chopper with them.
Yeah.
And you're like, that was unnecessary.
No way you could hear that in that chopper.
Exactly. Yeah.
Which means it had to be in the shooting script. Yeah. It's like, what, fucking Long Tall Sally? I don't care what it costs. Joel Silver, again, he's like, I don't give a shit what it costs. I'll yank funding unless we get this Little Richard song in the fucking opening sequences.
It's very much an homage to Vietnam, because the movie takes place in the late 80s, but they're all dressed in like all Vietnam era.
Yeah, I think you assume Dylan and Dutch were in Nam together.
Yeah, because they are all a little.
And it's part of the whole, like, you know, getting your masculinity back after, like, the Vietnam.
After Agent Orange sapped the sperm from your test.
No, where were the parades when I came home, man? Fucking that alien.
Valverde ain't gonna be a quagmire.
It's a police action down in Valverde.
I got home. I couldn't go back to normal.
Imagine there was like a character that was like that heady about war that was in the movie. Like everyone was like, Hawkins, he's like, the atrocities I've seen.
Yeah. Bugging.
We're gonna see it again, man. Like, give us 10 years. It's gonna be all.
It's coming back. Yeah. And that movie, like, one of the things about this movie that makes it so awesome is that it is like human superheroes. They all. So there's a scene when they're setting traps, like any other movie of the time. There's got to be at least one sequence where they're prepping a battlefield for something,
right? And using suspension as a weapon.
Yeah.
Counterweight.
Yeah. So. They're all pulling a tree down, and this is like the thing they keep coming back to. They're just all pulling a tree down to make some sort of one of those nets that scoops you up, and it's Arnold shirtless pulling on with gloves. Now all of a sudden they have like weightlifting gloves. And then it's Billy helping, and then they come back and it's Dylan is helping, and all three of them are so fucking jacked and oiled up. It's like everyone is helping except for except for the guys who aren't, Jesse the Body's over there, and then the three that aren't professional bodybuilders are sort of just seen like cutting ropes and stuff.
So we made the joke because Schwarzenegger said he thinks it's because of how well developed the guys are. Between Schwarzenegger and Carl Weathers, their physiques are awesome.
Right.
And like, you look at something like the equivalent we have to that now would maybe be like Fast and the Furious with The Rock and Vin Diesel, but their bodies don't compare. I mean, The Rock's got a great physique. Vin Diesel, I mean, just like hitting arms like one day before shooting. It's like, all right.
Yeah, Vin Diesel's on HGH doing buys and tries on shoot days. Yeah. That's it.
These guys were coming in with like 21-inch waists and shit. It's just like fucking crazy shit.
And Jesse the Body is huge, but he's not shredded. Like, the Body was a misleading nickname for him to have. It's like Jesse the Girth. He's like a big dude.
Go ahead.
Sorry, just going to Fast and the Furious. I read an interview somewhere that Vin Diesel said, it would make no sense for his character to be like super muscular because he's like a guy who drinks Corona and works on cars. Yeah. And what an amazing retroactive justification.
Yeah.
Once the Rock, he was the big guy. Then the Rock joins the movie. He's like, well, you know, I don't have to work out. Mike, yeah. I don't want to have to commit to this shit.
I remember hearing Mark Wahlberg on Stern and he was talking about like all his different character choices, but it was just him deciding how much weight to go up or down, like, or how like muscular he should make these guys. Well, yeah, that guy, he's more like, you know, 225. And like, that's his view of character. That's his acting choices. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, a little bit more.
You know, he's more speed and agility than he is pure upper body strength. You know,
listen, I laugh, but I'm kind of in that camp. You know, same camp. So the famous thing with this movie, I feel like I've said that about 19 different things.
But if I know what you're talking about now.
The lifting regime?
The lifting regime.
Yeah. That is definitely one of the better behind the scenes.
This is fascinating. I'm curious as to your guys. There's a theory on this. Because the information that I got, and then you guys can chime in with yours, was that Arnold famously, there again, 20 times famously, brought in a huge, like, weightlifting, you know, mm-hmm. room and setup with a tent, and they were able to, you know, everything you needed as far as weight room. And so Carl Weathers says in an interview that none of them wanted to show the other people that they were working out.
It's got to be all natural.
It's got to be all natural.
And he just happened to look like a fucking action figure.
Uh-huh. Happened to look like that. And so they would all compete with each other, and each one would try to go earlier before the other guy was there, to the point where it got to where they were like working out at 2 a.m. to beat the other guy.
Right. Like something Carl said in the interview was like they didn't want to see each other working out, see how much weight people were doing or anything like that. So they would go like before. So these are guys who are shooting 14-hour days in a fucking jungle and are managing to squeeze in a workout. I saw a thing on, I looked up Predator Facts on a bodybuilding forum, and holy shit, I recommend it. There's just like, everything is like, he wasn't even as lean as this guy. Like, it's all like, Jesse the Body may have mass, but he is not even nearly as cut as, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, he must have been on some sort of, and all this shit about it. But one of the things that it said was that they would run 10 miles a day and then lift weights for an hour and a half each. I'm like, you don't get up and run, because those guys are also, wasn't there also a story that they like ran all the whores out of wherever they were shooting? Like they like ran through every woman that was in town?
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, I don't know if that's a story, but
let's hypothesize. Seven of the biggest weightlifting fucking scumbags, ego-driven, lunatic misogynistics show up in one fucking town.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen Schwarzenegger's video when he's in Brazil?
No.
And he did this is back in his weightlifting days, probably when he was just like, you know, Hercules or whatever. And he did this like tourism video for Brazil. And it's him just it's like, this is my favorite part of Brazil, the ass. And it's just so misogynistic and just like disgusting.
You know, of course, you know, this is the only thing that women are good for, you know. Turn around, honey, show us your ass. And, yeah.
Going back to the what Stanger was saying, too, is Jesse the Body wanted to have a bicep competition. Yeah, now, we don't know if this is real.
So this is definitely, this I buy, because he talks about this on the...
They both talk about it.
They both, but it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
It is fascinating. It's like, if it's what Schwarzenegger says happened, it's the longest con imaginable.
Yeah. Yeah.
To where he started planning it when he was like 11 years old. It's like, all right, I don't know.
So as the story goes, Jesse and Schwarzenegger were having a competition of whose biceps were bigger. Jesse asked the wardrobe people who do their measurements. And
he's like, how big are Arnold's biceps?
The Black Choppers got us surrounded. 9/11 was an inside job.
So I asked her, I said, how big are Arnold's biceps? And I told her to tell Arnold that I had smaller biceps and some shit like that.
No, that's
Arnold. Yeah, Arnold. Arnold had her. But Jesse asked, and she goes, oh, they're smaller than yours, all right. So he places a bet with Jesse the Body, who has bigger arms. And Arnold had the wardrobe woman lying to Jesse the whole time.
Well, so here's what I was able to gather. Jesse.
All three of us, by the way, have seen the same thing.
Second time I beat your head, I'm sure your dad.
Ben's trying to like smash his head through the wall. So
fuck this shit.
You were fucking
papers is crying.
You want to challenge?
That's my old roommate Pat.
Oh god.
So in what I've seen, Jesse says that he won the bet. That they were in competition to see who had bigger arms, and while they were getting taped off and measured for their Vietnam issue military gear, he asked the costume lady who had bigger arms, and she said that it was she said that you do, and so he bet Arnold and won. And then Arnold, they asked him, I'm assuming, like, hey, you know, the body's saying that you won a bet, and you had bigger arms, and he said, no, this is what happened. So, you know, I'm talking to the costume people and I'm saying to them, you know, of course, you know, tell them that Jesse has bigger arms, and then he's going to bet me, and we bet the bottle of champagne and these things. And then at the end, you know, we of course will measure, and then mine will be bigger because, you know, I've been lying to him this whole time about whose is bigger and whose is not and these things. And so then they have like supposedly something where they actually tape it off and that Arnold's were bigger, and then he wins the bottle of champagne. But that's not the way Jesse tells it. And it seems elaborate for Arnold to like.
Yeah, it does not. It seems way too.
It's, you know,
he's so egotistical, he can't.
That's exactly what it is, dude.
He can't see how he could have lost. So, like, his brain rewired the whole incident.
And it's just like, your arms look better. He just has a fucking beefier arm than you. Who gives a shit, man?
It works on bodybuilders, but it also works on wrestlers.
It was a mind game. It works on the bodybuilders, but also the wrestlers.
Yeah, so it's just like this crazy Inception thing where he's like, I'll plant this seed in Ventura. Is mine that his arms are bigger. He'll then want to bet me, and then I'll then trick him, you know, based with like, you know, bunk measuring tape that mine are actually bigger. It's just like, all right, buddy.
So, in the besides,
no, I mean, of course, he did really well in politics and became a governor.
Yeah,
I mean,
both of them.
I mean, but Schwarzenegger's like an evil mastermind in these interviews. Or if you watch Pumping Iron,
you say, oh, this guy is, he's like a legit villain. Like, he's a good villain.
He's great. It's great.
The
do you
thing
guys
is,
have your Waze set to be Arnold's voice?
Yes, I currently do because you told me. Waze, the app, the navigation app, has Arnold as a promotion for Terminator Genesis. Make a right.
Great.
That's the one thing. That's the best thing about Predator. The vibe behind it is when you watch a 20-minute behind-the-scenes interview between two of the main characters, it is only about lifting weights and who had bigger arms. There's no discussion of characters, how they got the role. There's none of that bullshit. It's just like, who's the most jacked motherfucker?
And they're so competitive with that shit that they don't... I mean, it's like, who was able to do it in the most secrecy? It's like, who gives a fuck when you worked out?
I don't understand.
It's like this... Yeah, and like Carl Weathers is explaining it, like it's like, oh, you know when you're trying to get to the grocery market and the traffic's bad? I mean, it's like, so of course, you know, I don't want him to know when I'm going, so I get up at 1 a.m. like anybody else would.
I mean, are they like shooting up roids or something, and that's what they're talking about? It's like, I don't want anybody seeing me shoot up.
Yeah. Anyone who talks about movies like this and Apocalypse Now, where it's like, we were in the jungle for 10 months, it was hell. That all sounds like the dream jobs for me. Like, I want to have to do steroids, I want to have to learn how to fire weapons, and I want to have to live in a jungle.
The other behind-the-scenes part that is great is the body talking about how he wouldn't do it. Who's the only person with actual military experience talking about he would never want to go into actual battle with any of these guys.
Right. Because Jesse the Body was a Navy SEAL.
Yeah, he's like, I wouldn't want to do real combat with any of these guys.
It's like, yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a piece of cake. It was nothing.
Yeah.
And he, like, apparently in interviews, Jesse the Body has since said, like, there was an alternate ending where he killed the alien, but it was too early in the film. So
what?
Then, yeah. And then here's another line he said, the reason the alien has to kill him is so that Arnold's character realizes that even the most badass, tough dude is capable of it.
I like that.
That is the most Jesse. He justifies his own death as it's necessary to show how tough the Predator is. here's a little behind this, the thing we haven't talked about yet is that.
I know
Jean-Claude Van Damme was originally the Predator.
He sucked.
And he apparently, according to the bodybuilding forum, he was such a whiny faggot they had to throw him off the set, which I doubt is the.
Well, it's
they don't sit anybody down like, hey, sorry, it's not working out. You're a whiny faggot.
Joel Silver's just blasting rails like, we need a bigger, blacker fucking Predator in here ASAP.
It's funny, too, because in speaking of, like, ego stuff, I've heard interviews with Jean-Claude where he's talked about how he purposely wanted to get fired from it.
Right, because he had, like, his face wasn't going to be in the movie.
His face wasn't going to be in the movie, but he also had... what's that?
It's a terrible job.
It's a terrible job, but he also had a blood sport on the line. So it's like, when they talk about it, it's like, this guy fucking wasn't a trooper, couldn't handle it, was too small, he's a fucking midget. And then when he's saying, you know, so of course, you know, I'm doing blood sport, and I want to film that, and then I'm hoping beyond hope that they get fired from this. So to get out of my contract. So when I get the news, I'm so happy I'm off to shoot Bloodsport. And I won in the end, which is why I beat the Predator. You know? Yeah. It's like, all right, you know.
He got fired.
Predator and Bloodsport are probably just
spinning how anything that bad happened to you was your own doing, yeah, and it was to get something great.
Right. Right. That's the... You rebuild your own narrative. I'll say... This is a crazy hypothesis here. I would say Predator and Bloodsport are the mother and father of my brain. Like, that... Those two movies truly developed my taste in everything.
So Bloodsport is the mother...
Bloodsport fucked Predator in a 1975 Buick Century and had yours truly right here.
No rubber, fucking balls deep, blast it off inside.
Of course.
Inside.
Direct deposit.
You've got a tight little pussy.
Yeah, felt too good. Yeah. Predator felt too good. I can't fucking pull out.
So then they bring in a 7'2".
When Predator comes, it's the sound of like the thermal. It's like
that's the sound when I come.
It's really funny. There's the scene when the Predator's watching the movie last night. My wife walked by when it was the thermal vision scene. Mm-hmm. She's like, "What is this?" And I have like a 60-inch television, so it's huge. It's HD, and I'm like, "Yeah, it's just like green and red swirls." The scene when the Predator picks up the dead scorpion in his hands,
makes no sense.
It makes no sense. It looks like a tattoo, and it's like, right, what the fuck?
Yeah, I will say, though, that's one of those things to where it informed a lot of action movies after that. It's like a cool POV thing to do. And thermal
vision came up a lot.
Like, it's one of those, like, how do you do that? It's just like, cool idea. How do you do it? Like, figure all that shit out. Right. And, you know,
I read somewhere that they tried to use an actual thermal vision camera and it looked too crappy. So then they like reversed the negative and then like added the color in post. And that's why it's just like big blocks around. And the audio of what the Predator are hearing is crazy too. It's like, we almost died. You hear like,
yeah, this guy is, you know, has a significant challenge fucking hunting these motherfuckers. In the plot of the movie too, it's like, so he picks the jungle is because it's conducive to his climate. They only come in the hot months, so I'm assuming they are used to that kind of temperature. And then does he go there because there is guerrilla soldiers?
Yeah, or, I mean, he's attracted to badass.
I think also he seeks out the trophy kills.
Yeah, but there happens to just be, I mean, mostly just like farmers and shit there. There are some guerrilla soldiers. Right. Like, what a windfall for him that there's two fucking Delta Force teams there. It's like you go to like shoot rabbits and it's like there happens to be like a lion there. And it's like, fuck
Did he just get lucky? Yeah. I mean, could he have been tracking the original Delta Force? I mean, I'm going to do some help for the movie. I think he was tracking the original Delta Force that was down there.
She says that like he only comes in the hot weather. Yeah. So it's like this is the spot they picked.
They sort of retroactively like brush over that in the subsequent mythology of Predator.
But that's
the sequel.
I leave after the first one. Yeah. There's tons of people that are like, well, in their hierarchy of their planet, there's warriors, there's leaders, there's different kinds of things. Like, fuck
there's
off.
Scouts. There's one. That was just a scout. You don't want to have to go head to head with a warrior.
Like, I'm out, bro.
So the one thing we haven't, a couple of things.
Well,
we
so you believe her story? You believe her crazy bullshit? Yeah. That job is so like, she's talking crazy.
Yeah.
And somebody then she ends up being able to speak English in the movie too.
Yeah. That wasn't what she said. What she said doesn't make any sense.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks, Dylan.
Well, what the fuck did she say then, motherfucker?
Let's talk about the final fight. Let's talk about Arnold versus the Predator.
Okay.
Which is, we haven't spoken about yet. Which, when I watch the movie again, is not as much of the movie as I like remember it distinct. Like I remember the mud being such a cool thing.
Yeah, the mud's great.
Mud's a great specifics. Since MythBusters have done that, they busted that your body temperature would just warm the mud eventually.
Yeah.
Also, every time they show the Predator's vision,
he reapplies.
Yeah, he does. He does reapply.
He does reapply.
All right, we busted that myth.
Yeah.
Also, the other thing...
We only did the myth busting so the myth busters would get busted.
Yeah. It's, the myth busting is an inside job.
That was a plan from the beginning, to bust their myth. I knew that they would try busting that, so I
re-established the myth. Now they're too concerned with busting that myth. They forgot about 9/11 and the black choppers. Getting the chopper is in this movie too.
Right.
And I forgot how unimportant of a line it is. He just yells it to the Spanish woman before she's brutally destroyed.
No, she lives.
Oh, she lives.
Yeah, the other guy died, or Chavez died.
Oh, Chavez.
I can make it.
Yeah.
He plays a great pussy.
Just die. Shut up.
And then
up,
Predator
dude.
Is in the actor, the giant, is the helicopter
the
pilot.
The only 7'2" black helicopter pilot in.
We don't know
knees
that.
Knees in his chest.
Yeah. I don't think Lee, like, wasn't David Robinson unable to be on a submarine because he was so tall? But you could be a helicopter pilot. He would be sitting with his knees up in his face.
Right. At a certain point, he would have fallen out. You know?
The other thing is, every time they cut to Predator's thermal vision when Arnie is in the mud, there is no heat.
Yeah.
There's no animals in this jungle. You never see. It's always just jet black and them. There's got to be other shit.
Well,
there was
that rabbit that he kills, and that's how he figures out the thermal stuff.
Yeah. And then my other question.
One scorpion.
Yeah.
One scorpion.
Then my other question is, if it's hotter than 98.6 degrees in the jungle, what does that look like in thermal vision? Wouldn't that just be like all blast of red? Like,
yeah.
Again, I'm going to help the movie out here. It's alien technology.
By the way, Rogers has been doing blow off a picture of Joel Silver this whole time. A framed headshot
they
of Joel
Silver.
They got
the same fucking sensibilities. I want every goddamn hooker in the world out there for these guys.
All right,
you understand?
We got to keep these guys satisfied.
If we don't get them hooker, they're going to fuck the one female actress. All of them hooked up with that girl. All of them boned that girl, right?
I don't want to know.
I don't want to know. All right. So,
I mean, if there weren't prostitutes, they would have all killed each other.
Oh, there is another speaking of pigs. No, I'm just kidding.
yeah.
We just lost the last woman that was listening to this show.
It was that actress.
Well, she died. Yeah. the woman died.
There was a boar in that movie, remember? And Duke kills the boar, and he feels like he killed the Predator. He's like, I got it!
Yeah.
He's just like a fucking...
You son of a bitch! He rolls over and stabs it like 15 times.
Yeah, you know they would have made fun of him a long time for that.
Like, they did! They laugh at... It's like the dude just said his best friend died. They just buried him in a fucking... in his fucking poncho. Yeah. A boar comes in, they stab him, and they're like, ha ha ha! It's like, guys, this is not the time for...
Didn't you hear his not a scratch monologue? Come on.
Not a scratch. I'm gonna have me some fun. That's a real weird part. He takes his hat off, slams it on the ground, he's like, I'm gonna have me some fun. I'm gonna have me some fun.
Yeah, he's the most fucked up of all of them.
Yeah. That's when Dylan looks over at him and he breaks the razor off on his own face and you're like, oh boy.
So yeah, so we were talking about the end fights. We have Kevin Peter Hall, who's masterfully replaced Jean-Claude Van Damme. He's incredible in it. It's the Predator, like, even we were talking about the movies, other movies a little bit, he looks the best, like, his body in that suit.
It looks awesome. And like, he's a giant, and he's lanky, so it's kind of...
Yeah, and he moves really well. Like, he had made some choices as far as how he wanted to move. Like, it feels like an alien.
Yeah, it feels really cool. I like the scene when he climbs down the tree past Arnold, when Arnold's hiding in the tree, and you could just see the weird camo.
Yeah.
He's, like, climbing down like a spider. It's, like, super interesting.
Yeah, and I guess that suit was exquisitely heavy.
Yeah, it was, like, 200 pounds.
He's completely...
It's amazing. He did an amazing job.
Yeah, completely blind in it.
He earned that pilot cameo to really get his face in the movie.
Fucking guy, unfortunately... was succumbed to AIDS.
He died from AIDS.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Of all the people in that movie to die from AIDS, it's him. Yeah. Not those guys running through Valverde prostitutes.
No, the square that was like the motion actor fucking died of AIDS. Before the AZT
that guy
cocktail.
Died of AIDS. Where else did everybody land? Jesse became governor and then became a conspiracy theorist. Schwarzenegger, governor, fucked his
maid.
Had a kid who looks exactly like him.
And still an actor. Still doing the same
shitty,
movies he did.
Shitty sequels to his classics.
Shane Black just did Iron Man 3, yep. And he's got some cool shit in.
Yeah, director did some time.
Yeah, oh, John McTiernan
did some time. We haven't even talked about that.
What else did he direct? He directed Die Hard, right?
Die Hard did True Lies.
No, he didn't do True Lies. He did Last Action Hero.
Yeah, which Shane Black wrote also.
He did Thomas Crown Affair remake with Pierce Brosnan. It's kind of a fun little movie. He did Rollerball. And then the last movie he did was Basic.
Right.
So actually like done some cool Hunt for Red October.
Oh shit.
He was on a roll there for a while.
Yeah, he watched a lot of movies that affected me big time as a kid.
So I guess I was talking to this guy that was trying to produce a film with him before shit blew up. And this is all anecdotal, may not be true, but I guess he is a real prima donna and wanted some huge amount of money in the soft budget. Which is just what they have for treats and shit and hotels and stuff. And the guy's like, nah, we're at this stage where we need to put all the money into the hard budget, And fucking McTiernan just walked on the movie. And the guy's like, you're being a fucking pussy, man. Just you don't get the fucking, you don't get the Oreos, you get Hydrox, man. Sorry, what the fuck do you want? And McTiernan walked. And if you look, the guy didn't make that many movies. He's done 8 or 11 movies for such a prolific.
He had a great run in the 80s, early 90s.
He could be just picking up any fucking show, straight to DVD action movie right now if he wanted. But what was the thing that he got bagged for?
I guess he has 10 ex-wives or something, and he hired famed PI Anthony Pellicano to do some wiretapping on something, and
I thought he did wiretapping on another producer.
Maybe it was another producer. Maybe
it was something where he thought he was getting fucked out of something, and somebody was warring with or whatever.
Yeah, it could be that. Maybe I might be thinking of Kurt Kerkorian. But because Pelicano's reach ran deep, man. And McTiernan did 12 months. I think he was supposed to do 2 years, and he did 12 fucking months. And now he filed for bankruptcy and shit. Oh,
poor
and,
guy.
I would love to hear his stories doing time. I mean, it must be great. Because he must talk to those guys about Predator and shit, right? I mean, that's how he must have gotten by. It's remember when who's the guy from Stone Temple Pilots went to jail?
Scott Weiland.
Yeah, and I remember he came out and was like, yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna be producing some rap albums.
lemonade out of lemons, bro.
Any port in a storm. There was that referee that some referee in the NBA had to do some fucking hard time, and the guy said that he joined an Aryan gang. And they wanted him to get a tattoo, which he wouldn't do. But he's like, I shaved my head, but it's the only thing I could do to save my life.
Oh my god, that's terrible. Yeah, I would be so fucking open butthole if I ever went to jail. I'd rather have sex with strange men than get the shit kicked out of me.
I wanted this to happen. It was something that I designed as a strategy. So
from the beginning.
I wanted to know how small his cock was, so I wanted him to fuck
me. In my ass.
And a girl that had just joined back in left.
A girl who just walked back into the room of the dead woman who's listening to this podcast. All right, so why don't we wrap it up here, I guess. This is one of my first times hosting a podcast.
I could go 15 or 16 more hours.
I'm going to be 100% honest. Listeners, tweet at me and Ben and Ryan if you want us. We will do this again and talk exclusively about Predator and these guys again. But also, we've got Commando, we've got Bloodsport, we've got all our favorites that we can. I feel like there's 15 movies from around this period of time that I don't even have to watch, and we could talk. The three of us have that same culture.
Take this on, MythBusters. I bet we could talk about Bloodsport for the next 17 years if we spoke every hour, every minute, every, I don't know, whatever, some unit of time. That's really impressive.
Yeah, I wrote a 15-minute one-act play based on Bloodsport where he plays Frank Dukes and I play Jackson.
And what about the behind-the-scenes with the fucking guy that was the inspiration?
The liar.
He went to a trophy shop and had to make fake trophies for the fucking Kumite.
At the end of the movie when they show the records.
The records are the fastest punch, the fastest kick.
And they're all different measurements.
One's meters, one's seconds.
One's miles per hour.
Yeah, it's like, how the
fuck do you have these self-claimed titles? He fought in over, it says like fought in over 100 full contact fights. You would be severely destroyed, even if you won them all. If you fought in 100 bare knuckle.
Yeah. No, and it's just the fuck, and the guy wanted to see the medals and stuff, so he just went to some trophy shop in the valley, and some reporter like found the like receipts, or like, nah, dude, you just fucking bought that.
I'm gonna start buying myself Kumite trophies.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I won two myself, man. I'll show you the trophies, dude. I got a couple records.
So tweet at us and let us know if you'd rather us do another one on Predator or Commando or Bloodsport. I feel like
we can get deeper. We're just scratching the surface on Predator.
I feel like we were scattershot.
I'm warming up.
Yeah, we could talk just about Jesse
the Body.
I haven't
even seen the movie.
All right, now we're going to go watch Predator and come back and record another hour. Pause. We're going to pause and come back in 1 hour. All right, so Ben, where can listeners find... I don't know if this is something we have to do, but Ben, where...
Plugs. You do the plugs, man. Plugs. You fucking earned it. Got some great Jesse Ventura impressions in there. People are gonna be
We're out of time.
All right, bummer. Okay, well,
is it at Ben T. Rogers on Twitter?
Your email. That's my email. My email's
at rocketmail.com. BenTRogers at AOL.net. Yeah,
mine's CorvetteGuy69 at Hotmail.
My first email was SurfRat69 at AOL.com.
SurfRat?
Because I was a little surfer kid and I thought it would be cool. And then my next one was Enforcer53. Based on the character from the movie Big Wednesday, who's the bodybuilder / surfer in the movie.
I love it. You went straight ahead at first, and then you went a little more inside baseball in the second one. It's like, that's still the same world, but if you got to dig if you want to know what the reference means.
So
I had a Face Man email off of Face Man from A-Team. Face Man at Yahoo.
When you said Face Man email, I thought you meant like Ben Rogers at Face Man.
Yeah, I was like, what
the fuck is Face Man?
You guys never got on board Face Man?
Yeah.
Just spin off of Facebook for adults. Yeah. For adult men. Yeah.
My dad and his friends. Yeah,
Face Man. Yeah. They're all on Face Man just comparing bowling scores.
All my buddies are on Face Man now.
Pete, whoever works out at Cisco, posted on my wall on Face Man. Funny stuff about a meme.
Yeah, he got a new Bowflex in his garage. I'm going to come by and check it out. So at Ben _ Rogers?
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
RODGERS. Check it out. That's how you spell it.
Putting the D in Rogers, baby. That's what I'm going to be doing after this. 33 years old. Stanger.
Mine is at Stone Stanger.
Nice.
At Stone Stanger. Which is actually my kid's name now, and my Twitter's super dirty, so I feel bad to let this horrible legacy for him. Like, real, bad stuff.
Is Stone your middle name?
Stone is my middle name.
Oh, that's an awesome... A kid named Stone Stanger can only be an actor or a quarterback. It's like Colt McCoy.
Or a loser.
And
unfortunately.
We're flying towards that exit.
We're flying towards a loser for sure, unfortunately.
Or that's your girlfriend's ex-boyfriend.
Stone Stanger ruined another party. Now we're talking about your kid on a podcast. That feels weird. I'm at John Gabers. Subscribe. Thanks to HeadGum for the podcast. Subscribe to this. Click like. Facebook it. Venmo me money.
The enthusiasm dropped so hard. Yeah. Just like, all right. Love you guys.
Hey, comment and rate it, even if you don't like it. Yeah. That helps us climb the charts in iTunes.
All right. I listen to enough podcasts, and I should just be able to do this. All right. We good? I am mighty.
That was a HeadGum podcast.